Blog Talk Radio.
They're known as Team Power Punch, and they're going to make,
with these two guys combined, I think they're going to make a little history.
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is, this is the interview that I received, and we'll play that interview right now, and then let people listen to that, and then we'll go from there.
Sidecar racing. There's nothing new on this sun. It comes back again and again.
Right. So right now, he's doing a little TIG welding, and they're going to take a break, and he'll start doing it.
We're lost in space.
All right. So you're lost in space, but here's an update.
Yeah.
You've been working on the bike.
We got 3 months to complete a complete sidecar.
Yeah.
Everything's being handmade, so we're a little lost in time, but we're doing good.
There's a lot of new stuff on there from last time we saw you.
Yeah, we got the right side of the car, or the sidecar, almost complete. We have the piece where Gene's going to hang on to. We have the diamond plate, base, we put the guard, or so his foot's not going to go on the wheel and chop his foot off.
Yeah.
We have the guard in the back, so his foot won't slide out the back. And someone else did the front over here.
So we've been doing a lot of work. We made these bars that come up through here for more support. We've also, as you see, we've got the rear end section here, which we're going to fab up tonight.
Oh, just so you guys, you're not lost without what they're doing, and what you don't see is the link is up in the chat room. And just type that into your browser and hit it, and you can see what we're seeing.
Yeah, because it's much easier to see the visual with it like that.
Right.
They're pointing out a lot.
They're pointing out a lot of things.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool.
It's going to be ran over fiberglass, but you rod
in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had a bit of a clearance problem. This piece wouldn't fit, so we had to cut it. Now we're making an aluminum piece that's going to come in here, and it's going to rivet to the glass, and then we're going to glass over it. We also got the bar that Gene's going to hang on to being made. We have the motor completely finished mounting. It's right where it's got to be. The transmission is right where it's got to be. It's got to mount the starter. So the whole drivetrain is located where it's going to go.
You want to explain what they're looking at, Bill?
Yes, right now we're looking at possibly the first one I've ever seen in my life. That's a Harley Davidson in that frame in there. And to my knowledge,
nobody's
I've never seen one before.
Yeah, nobody's done it.
That's why I'm stretching forward looking at
nobody's
that.
Nobody's done it since the 80s, but they're going to tell you all about what's going on here.
Yeah.
We've got our oil pump on. Yeah, the oil pump's fit. We're starting to do the exhaust now. Now, the exhaust is going to come out on the other side of the sidecar. Because on this side, this is all going to be gene stone area. It's going to have arms going around, legs going around. My leg's going to go here. So we cannot have the exhaust here. We're going to burn our three legs. We're going to ride it on the other side.
Okay.
Now, we came up with a name for this bike. We're going to bike without a name. It blows. So, being that the other, the speedway bike, the Harley speedway bike, is called Lucifer's Hammer, in memory of a Harley that raced back in the 80s, it was called Lucifer's Hammer, and it raced against the Italians and everything. And I won on the V-Twin Championship. They won 3 championships. So we just called the other bike the Hammer. So staying with the whole Lucifer's Hammer thing, we came out with a name for this bike. This bike's called Lucifer's Revenge. Because Lucifer's pissed, man. They've been running jet bikes. And he told me personally, man, he says, I'm pissed, man. I want revenge. So here we go.
This is our revenge.
Yeah, I was having a nightmare the other night when he told me after a bottle of Jack. So anyways.
I like it. Now, is that the real motor?
Finally? It's actually, from here up, it's the real motor.
Is it?
The real deal, yeah.
Wow.
From here down, it's a blown-up mock-up case.
Right.
The engine case is being machined right now at the machine shop. This is what, like, took the most. I'll show you why. Normally, the distance between this shaft and this shaft is 2.5 inches longer. What we have to do is take an engine plate, then cut it in half, then narrow it in. We put 2.5 inches off the middle and machine it so it fits overlaps one over the other. It bolts back together. So it finally fits. Because like I said before, we have a wheelbase problem. And to stay within the wheelbase, we have to squeeze air in. So this has never been done before. to have a drivetrain so close together. You're going to have a custom chain made and everything. And show them where the pipes are. Pipes right now are coming after the straight back. We're going to have to bring it in. We're going to run a 2-in-1, come down through here, and run the pipe out through here. Right next to the two rods right over here. Hopefully, again, it's too hot. Yeah, what we're doing is we're going to come in, the rear pipe's going to come in and do a really tight radius and come over here and meet with this one. And they're going to go into a single pipe that's going to come out and taper out this way and go out this way with a super trap exhausting. We're trying to get done with all the fab by the end of January, which is it's a month from now. So we got 3 weeks for the fab, and then we want to put a powder coat of paint for 1 week, and then we got 2 weeks to assemble it, and we want to be running by end of February, so we can have a few laps before the season starts.
Yeah, so when you do the test runs, you don't go all out on the first time around. The test run is to see how everything's running and everything's holding together, right?
Yeah, what we're going to do is we're going to probably fire the motor up in the dyno so we can tune it best we can.
Yeah.
Because it's going to have alcohol, so it's going to be, we have to play with the tuning and rev limiter. We're running 4 plugs. We're running dual plug heads. So we're going to have 4 spark plugs on a V-twin motor. So all the tuning, a lot of the major break in as soon as we're done the dyno. Then we're probably going to go and rent the tractor, the rest of the sidecar guys, and work in our gearing and sliding.
You know, that Gene guy looks like a small person. That's for Steve for the monkey. But I don't know if they've seen drivers as big as T-Rod racing. T-Rod's arms are as big as my legs. Usually both parties are small people. But he must stand way out in that crowd. I didn't get a chance to talk about the front end. And I wish that the next time we get T-Rod, I want to find out what he's using for stabilizer to keep that down there.
Well,
did he mention about that?
No, he didn't mention it to me, but he had to work late tonight, so I just played this one, and then we're going to have him on for the other interview probably next week.
Good. Yeah, I'm curious what type of front he's going to go with.
Well, did you notice? You notice there's no brakes.
No, there's no way to stop. No reason to stop.
Yeah.
You know, somehow I'm picking pictures of Ben Hur, a big chariot race, you know, maybe
yeah.
The T-Rod put those big snot spikes, wherever they stick them coming out, you know, take those people on. So.
Mm-hmm. But the next one is what we're going to do here is the new law that's coming out in California.
Yeah, that's going to be...
It's basically what it is it's was instituted by two Chula Vista police officers and a deputy district attorney worked with the local legislator to pass a law. It's going to make it illegal becoming Saturday to possess the homemade device, is also known as the pigtail.
Mm-hmm.
To
pigtail's been around 30 years. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Basically, to steal, you can hotwire a motorcycle in 20 seconds and take off with it. But it's not illegal to make or own a pigtail through existing law, made it illegal to possess tools used to break into vehicles.
Yeah.
So now what they did was everything that is with this is. They added a section to the penal code. To
add more. Bigger penal code. Bigger.
Yeah. Because, well, basically, Bill, they've had 1,100 sport bikes were stolen last year. And the legislation, they signed some, Schwarzenegger signed some, where they could be charged with $1,000 fine and 6 months in jail. He signed on that legislation July 19th, but the law doesn't go into effect till the 1st. So you can, basically, you can't carry any... what they claim is burglary tools.
You know, in the past, and you agree with me on this, sir, we've been very much against these more rules, more legislation. But in this case here, I'm thinking, good. I can see no reason for you carrying down a pigtail unless you have some type of crime you're going to do.
Right.
I'm thinking, though, because how I feel about stolen motorcycles, thank God none of mine have ever been stolen, we need to cut off their finger the first time.
Right.
They cut the pigtail the second time, we cut off their hand. I think that's a little more dramatic, I think.
Because basically 22% of the motorcycles that get stolen are recovered.
with insurance and comes back to us, and the rates go higher for all across the board. So
that's it.
Even though you get recovered, it still is, affects all of us with that. And there's going to be such a small amount of motorcycle thieves out there, I say the hell with them.
Right.
Normally, in this case, I'm going to say, I got no objection with this law at all.
No.
It's not going to affect me ever in my life. And I'm not saying I'm some goody-two-shoes, but the idea of some schmuck having a motorcycle and his life into it and then having some thief
right.
steal his whole world, no, that's just not right. That's what I'm thinking. You just cut the finger off first time and cut the wrist off. I'm pretty basic on that, I think.
Right. And then the other thing was, you know, we're going to ask the people that are supposed to call in.
Uh-huh.
We have... there's someone on the line right now, so we're going to check this out. See who it is. Hello, caller.
Hello?
Are you there?
Is it me that you just queued up?
Yes, it is. How are you, Jan?
Hey, this is Jan. How you doing, guys?
Hey.
Good. How you doing?
The sun's shining out today. We're back on our motorcycles, thank goodness.
We had four
days in a row we couldn't ride because of the rain, and that's too much for us. We're back on our bikes today, though.
The sun is shining, the grass is green, everything's right with the world. I never minded riding in the rain. You ever hear that song out there?
Yes, I remember that song. Screwdriver and I, actually, we have full rain suits and everything. Now, we do ride, but we've actually had some unusually heavy rain that's caused the streets to have like 10 inches, a foot full of water in them in places.
Also 3x10-foot sinkholes.
Oh, God, yeah. Some cop car went into
16,
yeah. So yeah. We've had some problem with the freeways with sinkholes, and the rain's one thing, but it's kind of strange.
Hey,
now that the water's drained, you can see the sinkholes. We're doing much better.
Gosh.
So we're talking about those pigtails. Did you hear that as part of the program?
Yeah, I did. I agree. I don't know what law it is that you're talking about. I guess that there's some new law passed that they're going to come down hard on people who steal motorcycles, and I'm all for that.
Right.
And, it's about carrying a
pigtail. What it is basically on any bike, you can pull off the three prongs behind the key switch, and you plug into this one, and
you make the bike hot.
You make the bike hot.
You can bypass the keys and everything.
Right.
Anybody carrying that pigtail or the wire, the alligator clips, whatever, just carrying that now will be up to a year in jail, up to 6 months in jail,
and
$1,000 fine. And I don't think that's, I'm against more laws, but I think I'm okay with this one. However,
yeah.
I'm thinking cutting the finger and the wrist off, first time cutting the finger, second time cutting the wrist off, that would be more of a deterrent, I think.
Yeah.
Well, if you're a mechanic, I could see a reason for having that. You know,
but you wouldn't be traveling with it in your body. That's what they're saying.
Right. Normally you wouldn't. No.
And also, if you're an independent guy and you got a wife and kid and one motorcycle is everything you have, if you steal that, then we need to cut that man's hand off. Now, if you break into a dealership and you steal a motorcycle, therefore, you can just cut a finger off, because I can see the difference between an independent guy whose whole life's wrapped up in a motorcycle and some big dealership. So that's my ruling on that.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Hey, guys, I wanted to let you know, and this is no reflection on you, the blogtalkradio.com, the website itself is going really slow. I called in using Skype. I couldn't even get the chat room to load up this evening because it's just the website is going so slow. So if it appears that you have an off night in the beginning, then my condolences to those people who cannot reach your website right now.
Hmm.
It's very slow. I tested my own internet speed, and it was not a problem. I tested other websites, it was not a problem, so the problem appears to be confined to the blogtalkradio.com.
Yeah, that might be something to do with the weather back there, too, because it's on the East Coast.
Is that where it is?
Yes.
Do you know where it is? Is it Northeast?
It's Northeast, where all the snow is. But yeah, everybody's been having trouble the last couple of weeks with the weather back there.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay,
you know.
So I just wanted to let you know.
Appreciate that.
I appreciate
yeah.
it, though.
Yeah.
I told you the computer is an invention of the devil anyway, so I'm not real keen on it, so.
Well, that invention of the devil did keep me in a job for a number of years, so I'm appreciative toward it.
So you've already been at the crossroads and you sold your devil, is that right? You sold
the devil. Yeah, I sold the devil.
Who is the big guitar player that met at the crossroads and sold his soul? Was that
Willie Dixon or something like that?
It wasn't
Muddy Waters.
No.
Everybody thinks Muddy Waters did everything.
It was Dixon.
You know that. Well, the next topic we were going to go to
is what today?
Excuse me. Is the article about 13 people? You know, remember when we had that Amber Alert sign?
Of course, yeah.
That check twice or look twice. Motorcycles are everywhere.
Right. A good friend, John Del Santo,
right.
And the bait.
Right. We had 13 people call and complain. So now those 13 people have started a freeway campaign. And they're angered by it. So they don't want it. They don't want it. They want something else. And it's not going to happen. So what I did was John sent me an email. And it's got all the numbers to the state of California to call up and talk about how good this is.
13 people complained.
13 people complained and 13 people got somebody to listen.
Now, when I'm out there and I talk to people and they say, my vote doesn't matter, I want you to pay attention to what Philip just said there. 13
yeah,
people
right
complain
here.
To the state. The state's doing something about it.
Yeah.
So if you get off your couch come election time, voting time, get out there. You can't tell me your vote doesn't count. 13 people affected the whole state.
See, this
what
is
a crock.
This is what I received today. The letter shown below is from a law firm published on the Internet that calls to the Caltrans from car drivers, 13 of them, who disagreed with the share the road with motorcycles message on changeable message signs. Happened almost a year ago, but I certainly think it would be a timely to make some calls to Caltrans, reminding them how we, as motorcyclists, feel about the good things that the sign did. The number for Caltrans is 619-688-6670. Please give these folks a call and voice your appreciation for the awareness messages and tell them to keep them coming.
At least 12 to start with.
Yeah, at least, yeah.
But is that updated or is that from a couple months ago?
Oh, this is from today.
Oh, okay.
It's on the blog. It'll be up. It's up on the blog right now.
Okay.
And then you got anything you want to talk about? Yeah, like Art says, 13 out of millions.
No, nothing. No special topics that I had in mind this evening. You know, going back to Bill's point about, you know, 13 people can change it. See, the thing is that that's not going to work in our favor, though, either, because they just don't like motorcyclists. they hate bikers. Let's put it
that
way.
And again, I say bikers don't get out and vote. They don't go and get involved. I believe, without any statistics, we have a helmet law because I believe that mothers get out and voted because they're worried about their children's safety. I don't know but a handful of bikers that went out and fought this. And the organization like Bolt and the Bait and blah, 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 there was such a small number of those people that were trying to wear too many hats and the rest of us didn't do enough. So,
right. You know, and our friend John from New Jersey, he said all he had to do, Jen, was to hook that up was refresh and download the new Flash player, and all the problems were fixed. So,
hook up what? Hook up.
Well, you refresh on the chat.
Okay. Yeah, I've been refreshing. Mm-hmm.
And then
download the new Flash. I think it's 10 point something, and then the problems are. I had to do it yesterday.
Oh.
Forgot about that.
Well, I got on yesterday just fine, no problem at all. I use Firefox for my internet browser. Maybe what I'll do is I'll try using the Internet Explorer just to see if I get a different result. I shouldn't. But no, I'm just wondering if it did John, is John in the chat now?
Yes, he's in the chat now.
Oh, okay. Hi, John.
AC from New Jersey.
Yeah.
And then let me see who this is right here. Hello, caller.
Yeah, Bill.
650. Is that you? Is that you, Art?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing, Art?
Hi, Art.
Art, that's
hey,
Jan. Jan, that's Art.
Yeah, Jan. We sent Jan some snow.
Yeah. Thank you. It was lovely.
It's like bringing the sand to the beach, right? She needs more snow out there.
But no. And then the other thing, we're waiting for Coyote to give us a call, and we're going to talk about that Saddle Tramps Polar Bear Poker Run, which is Sunday the 9th. So I don't want to say too much about it until he calls in.
Yeah. Let me deviate just a moment here. I want to talk about something. I constantly talk to everybody about my trips into Mexico. Screwdriver and I feel Mexico for us is as safe as any place in the world. Past 2 weeks now, we've had 3 Americans killed in Mexico. I'm not talking about robbed. I'm talking about killed. I am going to make the announcement tonight that, although Screwdriver and I will still cross the border, I'm not going to take any groups of people into Mexico anymore. I finally believe that's not just hype. It's at a point in time where it's too dangerous. So if we're talking about February
right,
going down the Mardi Gras.
One of them was a Baptist minister got waylaid yesterday.
And the San Diego University, San Diego, the teacher, the professor.
Right.
So we're talking about February. We go down for Mardi Gras. And I'm going to, whatever you and I do is different, but I'm not going to take anybody with us. I'm going to discourage all of our friends for now on stay out of Mexico. You have to be connected to be in Mexico. And if you're not, it's really, I don't like saying this, it's don't go anymore.
Right. It's like you know, we've been updating on where people are listening.
Yeah.
You know, Bill, and right now we have 271 people listening in Russia. There's 1,235 listening in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
1,653 listening in France. The United Kingdom, we're at 1,911. South Korea, 2448.
Mi amigos.
In Germany, we have 2,680. Denmark, we have 2,923. Australia, we're at 2,960.
Bill, I'm very sorry to hear that you're not going to be going into Mexico anymore. I know that you enjoyed that a whole lot.
We are still going, Screwdriver and I, but we're not going to bring any more guests into Mexico. And I'm asking everybody that within the sound of my voice that does go down there, don't go.
Right.
It is that unsafe. You
if you don't, if you don't know how to handle
if you're not
yourself,
connected,
yeah,
if you're not connected, you and that really is just and I it just it, I'm not happy saying this because I always told everybody we have a great time, but unless you're connected,
right?
You
know, it's like
it's not safe.
Yeah, and I got a message for you, Jen. Are you looking at the chat room?
I'm going to click on that link and install it. I guess that what they did was they set up the Flash Player so that it so that the new release will only work in Internet Explorer. I don't
right.
like that at all because I prefer to use the Firefox browser. So I can't see the chat room right now. No.
Okay. Well, I got a message for you.
Okay.
From Jackson, New Jersey, and he says, a couple more glasses of this Dago Red, and I won't need a computer to get online. Hi, Jan.
He won't need a computer to get online.
You know, and in Canada right now, we have 6,169 people, and in the United States, you want to read that, Bill?
82,987. You know, I will be in Mexico in November. Screwdriver going to be down to... We won't be in Baja. We'll be in mainland Mexico. We'll probably traverse over to Arizona around the Gila Bend area and start heading south, cross into Mexico. We'll be in Rocky Point, Puerto Penasco. And for all you people that can speak Spanish, I'm sorry. I butchered language so bad. That's our next big one. There's thousands of people from around the world going to be at that party. But Screwdriver and I've been talking to him. I don't want anybody going down with us anymore. I'm not concerned about it. But if you've got some huevos and you think going down to Mexico is a good party, next big one will be in November, Rocky Point.
Well, no, they're going to have the Mardi Gras at the end of the month.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's not big compared to like a...
No,
you know,
but, I mean...
But you can have a lot of fun in Mardi Gras.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Los Santos,
you know, Muertos. Even though this is open radio, I can't... I don't want to tell any of our stories because,
no.
You know, some people think we're okay, nice people.
Right.
I don't want to think, my God, those are...
Well, you know,
hey,
since you brought up this is free radio...
Yes.
And,
it's the last voice of free America.
Okay. You know, well, you're gonna enjoy this one. The internet groups fear the UN can threaten cyberspace. Officials from 18 countries held an impromptu late-night meeting earlier this month at the United Nations office in Geneva and made a decision that rattled internet technorats around the world. Autocratic governments like China and Iran attending the meeting, as did several domestic, their democratic ones, despite protests by Portugal and the United States. They voted to staff a working group of Future of the Internet Governance Forum, an important theater of discussion on matters of cyberspace by governments alone. So what they're going to do is they're going to do side shit and then tell you that's what you're going to do.
Now, you said America protested, but I watched Congress the other day, and they voted that they were going to start trying to take over the Internet with the reason to make it better and more accessible.
Right.
Well, to me, number one,
well, they reversed,
free.
They reversed their decision, Bill.
Since last week?
Yeah. Meanwhile, the Internet Society, an umbrella group that helps manage technical standards online, posted a petition to its website in protest.
Yeah.
They even got the Canadian Internet Registration Authority, which manages Canadian domain. Even Google waded into the fray. He attacked the UN decision. Well, the guy from Vincent Cerf, vice president, and pioneered the internet. In his December 17th blog, he attacked the UN decision. We don't believe governments should be allowed to grant themselves a monopoly on internet governance. The current bottoms-up open approach works, protecting users from vested interests in it, enabling rapid innovation. Let's fight to keep it that way.
I hope the government's not trying to listen to us and trying to find secret keywords and messages in there.
Oh,
we're not sending keywords.
We're like 10 years behind them in the shit they got.
Oh, there's no problem. So I hope they're not bothering to waste their time trying to say, what do they really mean by that statement? What we mean by that statement is what we mean by that statement.
Yeah, Stephen Holland has also been hinting at a specific threat.
One day...
They're trying to call it a cyber peace treaty, but it ain't going to work.
Now, you and I know that down in Mexico City, we're talking that a lot of the big officials, they're putting
chips
into the politicians, so when they get kidnapped, they can try to get the politician right away. That's inject them in their body. And I'm not trying to say that's going to be for all of us, but they're accepting that as a form of safety. You need to be marked, tagged.
Right.
Gosh, I hate that. You know, people are going to start doing that. They're going to start doing it for their own safety, for their own convenience, so that when they go shopping for their groceries, the government will be able to figure out whether or not they're staying on their cholesterol diet, you know, because you'll be able to track directly back to the groceries you purchase. Everything else, your medical file is going to be accessible through that RFID chip. There are going to be ways for criminals to falsify RFID chip information. I can just see it. 5-10 years down the road, everyone's
snowballing. Snowballing everywhere.
They are going to line up for that RFID chip, and that is when the government says, "Okay, now that we've got the population saturated, what we're going to do is turn off paper money transactions. Everything is now done by credit. You can no longer buy anything without disclosing your identity."
Yes.
Because it'll be right on the chip.
Now, I have two dogs. I have a Rottweiler and a Bull Mastiff, and I got those chips in there. When I first talked to him about it, they kept telling me that what if they get lost? What if they're out in the streets and, you know, they're panicky and timid? This way, with the chips, Mr. Kennedy, we can get the dogs back to you. And I agree with it. And ever since I've done it, I'm thinking, I don't know. I want my dogs back if they get lost. But on the other hand, they can track my dogs. It's just kind of I'm going back and forth this whole program.
Well,
your dog's tag, Jen? Do you have any dogs out there?
I wish I had a dog. I love dogs. I have free range pets. You know what those are?
I'm just gonna. We're kind of confused there. What are you talking
free
about?
Range, free range. They can go anywhere they want.
Golfers, or what do you got?
Whatever wild creatures show up in our yard.
Okay, yeah.
we have deer galore. We've got fox. You name it, we've got them. It's great. I love it.
Do you put any salt things out there to bring more deers down to your property, or just whatever comes your way?
We don't need to.
Oh, that's good.
we get plenty.
Yeah. I was up in the mountains last weekend, and once you get away from the smog and you see the homes, I don't mean they're not mansions, but they got space between them.
I love it.
These people have less stress than Screwdriver and I, who have got people around us and stuff like that. People I spoke to just seem like nice people. I'll tell you, I was looking at buying something, a giant warehouse.
You said New England, Bill?
Yes, sir?
No, this is Jan. Did you say New England?
Sorry, but regarding what there?
No, it wasn't New England.
No, it was Anza. As in the mountains, Anza.
Anza. It's like Anza Baringo. It's like out in the desert.
Oh. Okay. I'm not.
And I was up there, and I wanted to look at this giant warehouse for sale. I was thinking, this might be something I might really like. And this gardener was cutting some weeds down, and it's a for sale sign. I said, I'm kind of interested in that. I might take a look before I contact the realtor. And he goes, oh, yeah, go right ahead in there. I'm in there for half an hour. I'm laying plots and designs. Everything, this is me. Finally, I said, you know what, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much for allowing me to come in. I want to give the realtor a call. He says, why? I said, I've been here for half an hour or more. I'm interested in the building. He goes, oh, the building's not for sale. I bought it last night. I said, what did you have me looking for? And he goes, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know that you wanted to buy the building. He said, listen, I told him it's from Oceanside. And he said, listen, there's a lot of trailers on my space up here. Why don't you come up here every weekend, stay in one of my trailers for no rent, no charge. Stay, and that will give you a chance to look at the area better. Total stranger invite me to come up there and live in one of his many trailers. You don't find that in the cities anywhere, you know?
Gosh. That's wonderful.
It really made me feel good, you know?
Yeah.
Because somebody like Screwdriver came to my door, and he wanted to stay in one of my... I said, oh, no, no.
That love. All that love. But, no, and then, you know, since we're talking about the government stepping in,
yeah.
How do you feel about those no-refusal DUI checkpoints?
Oh, don't get me started on that one, Philip.
I know, huh?
It's the most invasive thing I have ever heard of, other than...
I couldn't believe that they're going to have a bus with a judge.
On the spot.
Right on the spot.
Yeah, why don't you tell your listening audience what you're talking about here so they know, because this is...
Well, I was going to get into it. Just wanted to pull your chain. But
wow. You pulled it. All right, let me tell them.
It's no refusal DUI checkpoints could be coming to Tampa, Florida, but they're in several other states already, as I understand, according to the stuff that I had read. But they've got this woman, what they're going to do is, even though New Year's Eve is only days away, this is a couple days old, but the National Highway Traffic, or NHTSA, expects to be one of the deadliest weeks of the year on the roads. But now, a new weapon is being used in the fight against drunk driving. It's a change that can make you more likely to be convicted. I think it's a great deterrent for people. I sent this to David and Tiger Lily just to see what they were going to say, because I wanted to pull their chains, too. But Florida is amongst states now holding what are called no-refusal checkpoints. It means if you refuse a breath test during the traffic stop, a judge is on site sitting in the bus and issues a warrant that allows police to perform a mandatory blood test. So if you say no, they're going to pull you out of your car, tie you down, stick a needle in your arm, and take your fucking blood anyway.
Yeah, and they might even do it in the back seat of a police cruiser.
I was going to say, that's what they're going to do, in the back seat of a police cruiser.
It's already being done in several counties, and now this Unified woman from Matt is working to bring it to the Tampa Bay area.
Yeah, what's her name?
Unified.
Unfried.
Yep.
She's from Mad.
Yeah. I think you'll see the difference because people will not drink and drive. I truly believe that. She said not everyone is on board, though. There's some DUI defense attorney sees the mandatory blood test as a violation of constitutional rights. It's got to stop somewhere. What other misdemeanor offense do we live in the United States where the government can forcibly put a needle in your arm? Of course, as Jan says, they can stick a catheter up your penis and get it that way.
I've not yet met a man big enough to do that, sir.
No. The federal government.
Oh gosh, they'll do it though. They'll take if it takes six of them, they'll do it, Bill. They got the gun too. They got that taser. What are you gonna do?
They'll be on the ground flopping like a fish when they do it.
I just unmuted
that'll
Charlie.
That'll serve them right.
Yeah.
I just unmuted Charlie. But now you've got attorneys telling the clients, don't blow, because we know from the results from these machines that they're not operating as the state or the government they're supposed to operate. So there's another guy. He's a DUI consultant, expert witness. Supporters, though they say, could see no refusal checkpoints in the Bay Area by October. We don't want to violate people's civil rights. That's the last thing we want to do, but we're here to save lives, Unified said.
My motorcycle shop at Kennedy's Custom Cycles, my brother and I own, is right next to a major highway. And every holiday, as you know, leaving my shop, they're waiting right down the street. They're waiting for everything. It's all about revenue, just
mm-hmm.
revenue.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were driving today when we
yep.
went to the coast. And
oh, yeah, alongside the road there.
Yeah, now they got a new, this is for Art. Art, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, hey, Bill and I today. Now, your brother said he thought he saw a shickle on a bike.
Yeah.
It's not shickle. It's a big, blonde-haired woman. She's got to weigh about 275, if not more. And she was just hooking and towing. But, you know, just go back to this lady, Fried. She says that she adds that this type of checkpoint would be heavily advertised with the goal of deterring any drunk driving. You don't have to advertise it. It's always in a little box in the corner.
Sure.
If I wasn't getting the pinpoints on the computer, nobody would know. You wouldn't see them. So, you know, it's her goal of deterring any drunk driving. The U.S. Transportation Secretary, Rory LaHood, has recently said he wants to see more states hold similar programs. But I don't think so. Somebody's going to test this. There's two DUI attorneys on the case now, so somebody's going to jump on this one and get it
started. You know, I want to talk about the other side of the coin because, again, I'm not adversarial police. I'm just against people that abuse the power. Just a short time ago, I was down by Umpty, we call it, a local bar, and one more, that's it. And there was a very attractive Oceanside cop, female, in case you're wondering. And she was talking to a drunk, and the girl was walking. The crowd came out of the bar, all the different clubs, and everybody started getting really mouthy. And the girl was just talking to this drunken girl. And so I decided to pull up and put my bike between the bar and the cop. And she said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm just going to watch you." She said, "Okay." She did her best to get the drunk somebody from her family to pick her up and take her home so she didn't go to jail.
Right.
Meantime, though, this little blondie-locks cop, she called for backup and reinforcements, and they came down like crazy.
Well,
they got with a family member to take the lady home, and in front of all of these cops and in front of the whole bar full of people out in the parking lot getting mouthy and all that, she said, "Just a minute," to the guys. She runs across the street, throws herself in my arms, and gave me a big hug and said, "Thank you." I'm thinking, lady, if you wanted to do me a favor, you could have ignored me.
Right.
So my luck, one of those cops was her boyfriend. He's probably looking for me. People in the bar saying, "Oh, that goddamn Kennedy." point is, she was scared by the crowd, and I thought she was trying to help the woman out. So, once again, I jump in, I do what I think is the right thing to do, and who knows now.
Right.
So, you know, I still decide what I do is right.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of policemen abusing their power. Let's not get that wrong. But yeah, I want to acknowledge when things happen.
And I told you, according to those two sergeants, anything to do with bikers, they're told to call in the troops.
Exactly. No, they came flying in everywhere.
Not just for backup. Just call in the troops.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill?
Yes.
Bill, have you seen,
sir,
that new AB-47 that you're trying to pass right now?
Screwdriver, have we seen that? I haven't. The new AB-47?
I've been looking at so much shit that's coming out for the new year.
Okay.
I guess not.
This this is a new one. Fiona May or Ma, whatever. I'm not sure where she's from. But they're trying to control raids. And what they've done is she submitted it, and part of it reads, any person who conducts a public event at night that includes pre-recorded music lasts more than 3.5 hours is guilty of a misdemeanor punishable by a fine of $10,000 or twice the actual estimated gross receipts. So if a club's having a party and they're letting people come in and they're paying, you know, for the entertainment and everything else, technically, they could be busted on something like this.
You've been to my parties. You know we have a lot of people. I have not been aware of that, but if they want to shut me down from having my parties, that's a perfect way to do it. Come in, I want to speak to the manager, the owner. There I am. Bam. I wasn't aware of that. You know, for a long time, you've been to my parties, like I said. You know, I have a good crowds, but they've never been happy, but I've always kept it under control. That'd be a good way to shut the whole program down.
Right.
It was just introduced December 21st. I'll fire it back out to Phil again, but MMA fired it down to me. And it's something we're keeping an eye on because it's something that they could use to go after clubs or somebody that's having a party. And it's...
Because of my location and because of my affiliations, I'm kind of like neutral territory. I bring a lot of different clubs in. January 23rd, we're going to be down. The chief of Catalina Island, the fire chief, he passed away. They're going to have a memorial in my shop for an hour. So they can't get me on that one. That's going to be a small deal. But you've seen some of my bigger ones, which we have open parties. That would definitely be the way to shut me down. And you know, the city of Oceanside is not real keen on me that much. I don't know why. I'm a nice guy, but I don't know. They pick on me.
Yeah, but this is just something that's come up and I think people should know that it's there that they may want to keep an eye on.
Yeah,
I put that out the other day when they were talking about that. I sent it out again, and I can't remember where it is.
Hmm.
I know it's
there. I've got a question for you, Art.
Yeah.
Yeah, do they still allow you to breathe in California?
You have to have a permit.
They can legislate that next, you know. You have to get
a
permit.
Yeah, and you can't inhale.
Okay. Do they check your mental stability first?
They probably do that, and they also probably do a rectal colo exam.
Jan, I have to tell you something. Art can back us up here. Screwdriver and I can roll down Interstate 15, and we get to around San Bernardino. I can feel the smog in my lungs.
Yes.
I don't smog. I don't stop in San Bernardino. I blast through quick as I can. But from where we are in San Diego, when we get to San Bernardino, you can feel it in your lungs. That's how bad the smog is, guys.
Oh, that's lousy.
Yeah, but we don't live up there. We live in San Diego, so we're okay. And Art's up on the hill somewhere. God knows where he is. I think did you tell me he has a nudist colony? Is that what he does up there? I didn't.
No. I said that. But here's the cool.
It's still clothing optional.
Yeah. This is the bill. If you read the text, it makes it illegal to have any event from sunrise to sunset playing pre-recorded music without a license to do so. Here's the link. I can put that up in the chat.
I don't have those licenses, you know that.
But MC parties are not rave. That's what we've been trying to tell them. So, I don't want to have to wear a patch that says MC parties are not raised. I'm putting this out. Everyone needs to know. This is from Brian. But, what do you think about that, Charlie?
Well, I think a rave party really is supposed to include the drug X, right?
Right.
So if not everybody's out there tripping on X, then it's not a rave. Isn't that how it really goes?
Right. The Constitution of California, it requires the state to reimburse the local police and school districts costs mandated by the state. Statutory provisions establish procedures for making that reimbursement. Even though this bill would provide no reimbursement, it is required by this act for a specified reason.
Well, they ought to look for a reason to get on it. If you guys will look at history and think about everything that you're talking about tonight and everything that is going on around us, and the biggest, darkest question that comes to my mind is, how can society be so divided that we have this police force who is so hell-bent on acting one way? So how do we get society divided to the point that a certain section of society wants to be so policing and so dominant, and they're so hell-bent on the way they feel about that they will deprive you of your rights, and they will go into you, they will go into your house, they will come into your life, and they will take these things from you, and they will demand these things from you, and they feel justified. And this really goes back to what has happened in recent history in the last 100 years, and it really touches on the whole Nazism thing. I mean, and how did that happen? How could a whole country like Germany get together and say, hey, you know, this is really okay to burn Jewish people, to burn the people that we don't like in these ovens and do this stuff? Someone came together and said, this is okay to do that, and they had so many people who would do that. The Chinese are doing it today. The Chinese are doing it today to their citizens. And so now the United States has these group of people here, and they're doing it. So my question to you guys is where do we find or define the situation between folks like us that I think are rational and good human beings to the folks that are on the other side who are out there who are trying to entrap and trying to provoke and want to take away these things? Why is that happening?
Well, it's just like I'm reading right here where John in New Jersey, he said most of the things that are being done have never been tested in the higher courts, which is why they continue to get away with what they do. You can't rely on most bikers to pursue any of this through the legal system. It gives the cops a green light. And that's basically what it is.
Well, history's repeating itself.
Well,
this has already been tried and tested. This has been tried and tested in Nazi Germany.
There's tuna fish in the refrigerator, babe.
One at a time, guys. Go ahead.
Never mind.
No, go ahead, Art. Go ahead, Art.
It's happening in China today. It's happening right now. I mean,
the
Chinese.
The bet. That was only a couple of years ago, right? China took out the whole country.
Yeah, I'm just saying. So, I mean, that part's going on. And in our United States of America, your neighbors are looking at you with, you know, crooked eyes and going, you know what? I think I'm going to take that guy out. And they feel justified in doing so.
Well, that goes back to if you see something reported. That new law that came out, if you see something reported. And back in Ohio, they have the trash guys going through the trash looking for stuff.
You know, let me tell you, this puts us on really thin ice, especially our shop, because we shut down three blocks because I don't have private land. I got to shut the street down. Right in the middle of the street, I keep one lane open with cones to take care of the fire department. As long as they have one lane for emergency vehicles, they're okay. I have only one shop in the three blocks that stays open on a Sunday. I talk to him in advance. He always volunteers to shut the shop down. I have to go to city buses, and I have them reroute one block over to stay away from all my traffic. I'm on thin ice in about every capacity you can imagine. I definitely see this coming down as to ending our programs, because I'm stretched too thin on all the city ordinances. I'm not breaking any of them, but I'm in the gray area all the way.
You know, and it goes back to the other thing, too, Phil, where people, you know, there's a lot more people becoming sovereign citizens right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's basically men and women who believe they are exempt from most state and federal laws, regulations, and tax codes, and it's spreading like a prairie fire. While many of these tax resistors are perpetrators of paper terrorism in the filing of nuisance liens and such, some sovereign citizens have demonstrated the willingness to resist police and government authority with violence.
Well, they don't know what they're talking about, Philip.
Every day, I've said this before many times, if the Wright brothers wanted to get up in the sky today, there'd be so many permits they couldn't get, they would never have gotten off the ground today.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's like these two guys, They got stopped in West Memphis, Arkansas, last May 20th.
Yeah.
Police officers met a father and son team of sovereigns. The guy's name was Joe and Jerry. I won't say their last name. On a routine late morning traffic stop.
Kane. They're dead. They're not going to sue you. Their last name is Kane, K-A-N-E. They're dead. They're not going to sue you.
Okay. They were puzzled over anchor promissory paperwork presented by the father and son. When the son emerged from the vehicle with his AK blazing and fatally shot both off, they fled, but were been killed in a shootout with police an hour later in a Walmart parking lot.
Well, that's Memphis, man. I lived over in Memphis, and I'll tell you what, that's a tough town, man. It is a tough town, and those guys over there, there's no mercy anywhere in that area. I'm telling you right now, and I'm not excusing what's going on. I'm just telling you that it's the mentality of the whole district. It's all, you know, it's just insane. Everybody right now is convinced that everybody's a criminal. You're a criminal first. You're not innocent until proven guilty. They all run in there, and they all want to just, you know, get their guns out and do what they do. So it's tough, man. It's a tough thing.
We grew up in this country following the English law. You were, you know, innocent until proven guilty. But the European standard of law, where you, and including Mexico, it is turning more and more. You have to prove you're innocent. No, I thought it was they had to prove we were guilty. But I'm seeing this changing by all my rights being taken away. They're demanding I prove I didn't do anything wrong. This is all backwards, guys.
Well, it gets back to what I just said about the whole Nazism situation. How did a country like Germany convince half their population or most all their population to act the way they did? How are we acting the way we are and convincing a large portion of our population to act the way we act? I don't understand that because we're all good citizens. We're all good folks. We're all hanging around and do what we do, and we love our neighbors, and we love being free Americans. But yet there's a certain, more than a certain group, an overwhelming population in the United States that carries on the way they do. How can you walk in? How can you don these riot gears? How can you take these things on and carry your M16 into somebody's house and shoot their dog and rustle up their kids and throw them in the floor and carry on like that, knowing that you're going to go home to your kids? How does that happen?
They got disbanded. And they're paying out, there's 165 people in on that class action lawsuit to get part of that $3 million from that they seized. That's where the money's going to come from to pay them.
I'm talking about it in general. It happens everywhere. I mean, people every day recruit themselves into this situation. They go into it and they say to themselves, they know that they have a wife and kids at home. They know that they have a dog at home. They know that they have a family. They know they have a mom and a dad. They have sisters and brothers. But yet they will come to your house upon call, and they will don their riot gear, and they will break your door down, and they will shoot your dog. They will destroy your family because they're asked to do that because that's the job they want to do. Why do they want to do that job? Why do they not have a conscience or some sort of moral thing that says, is this the right job? When I go take a job, if I'm going to dig a ditch, if I'm going to cook a hamburger, if I'm going to build a house, if I'm going to go out and play music on a stage, whatever that job is, you know, how could I possibly go out and do any of those jobs unless that's what I want to really do? So do these people that act this way get that from within themselves to act that way?
Well, I'm not sure how the saying goes. If the guy wanting to be a cop is a prick or a prick inside a cop, I'm not sure how that goes. I don't remember. But to me, it's like I said before, that to me, most cops, they couldn't pass the fireman's test. That's why they became cops.
Let's talk about the number one suicide rate, and let's talk about divorces. It's all among police officers. It is a very strange...
Well, there's an interesting site, Bill, out there. It's called Injustice Everywhere. I don't know if I should...
I have a couple of career police officers in my family that are just wonderful people. And, you know, one of them heads up the child abuse division for the county in Illinois from where we're all from. And the other one's his son. And these guys, you know, they have exemplary records. They're not kicking people's doors down. And they're carrying on a police thing that police should be doing. Where do we find these people? Where are these people coming from that want to don this riot gear? Okay, I need a job. I'm broke right now. I need a job. I'm just hypothetically. I'm going out and I'm going to go find a job, and I get offered an opportunity to go out, and what I have to do is I can train because I have military background, and I'll train for you again, and what I'll do is I'll don this riot gear, and I know that my job is every time I'm called upon to go out there and react to a situation, I'm going to react in this certain manner. And I'm not going to pay attention. I'm going to be completely faceless. I'm going to be completely emotionless. How do I do that? I can't do that. I'm saying, where are these people coming from? How is society raising and bringing this in? It's the exact same scenario that you saw in Nazi Germany and other places that you come from, that this has happened in the past. Our history is repeating itself.
Well, here, I'll give you a story out of West Virginia. Listen to what the headline is. Troubled cops often become gypsies, okay? So what had happened is there's a handful of departments in West Virginia. This particular one is Cedar Grove, West Virginia. The state doesn't monitor why officers switch departments, but the Division of Criminal Justice Services keeps track of their employment histories. An examination of the data about 14 years worth shows that 166 officers have held jobs with more than four departments in West Virginia. Officers moving from department to department after their actions are requested or questioned, but before anything can be proven, is a common occurrence, not just in West Virginia, but across the nation. So basically, there's a professor of criminal justice at the University of Omaha who's tracking this, and he says a police accountability expert, everybody talks about the problems of gypsy cops. Officers are employed, get in trouble, quit, and get hired somewhere else. Which we have a lot of those here in California.
Yeah.
We have some in Oceanside, too.
Exactly.
But how are we breeding so many? How are we breeding so many? Like, you used the example about the girl a while ago who was a police officer, you know, so she probably was a better-looking police officer than most, and she's out there trying to taunt, somehow entrap a situation. Where do we find those people, and why are they doing this? Why are human beings... Why are people, where are they growing up at that makes them want to do this? What kind of thing is happening that's causing people to walk in your house in full dawn riot gear and shoot your dog in front of your children?
You know, I can flip the script for one second.
Just like this.
Okay,
there's five towns, Smithers, Montgomery, Shanistan, Mount Hope, and Cedar Grove combined have hired these officers at least 80 times. Okay, 14 departments have hired at least 10 each of the 166 guys that moved around the most. In the past 2 years, they've shown that 13 West Virginia officers who have left one department under a cloud of allegations have found work in another one and gotten promoted.
Hmm. Let me put the script for one second, please, because this is just as an interesting side of the coin as the cops. What is wrong with our community that when the police are arresting somebody, we all leave. We don't want to be witnesses. The police say disband, leave. Why are we doing this? Why aren't we observing the officers? Why are we afraid to say, I'll be a witness, I don't think that was done right, or I want to make a statement? Why are we turning our back on our fellow citizens when they're being arrested? What made us become weak, spineless, and just say, oh, I'm sure they did something wrong. Look at them, they're bikers, they deserve it. Whatever happened to fair play? Whatever happened to neighborhoods? All of this I blame our community on. I blame the police for what they do wrong, but I blame the people that walk away when they see something going on, just as serious as what the police are doing wrong.
You're exactly right with that, Bill. That's a great side right there to take. And to me, that's absolutely what happens, is everybody wants to turn the other eye and look the other way because everybody also has a certain feeling of guilt, I think. I think because whenever something happens, I think someone can look at that and say, oh, that could be my brother, my cousin, my uncle, my girlfriend, my boyfriend. And for some reason, they kind of shy away from that situation, would be my opinion on a lot of that. And I think also is intimidation. The intimidation of
intimidation.
When an officer tells you, to get out of here and leave us alone, the last thing you want to do is be like, oh, shit, I don't want to be involved in that. I'm out of here.
Yes.
So the intimidation alone says, oh, wow, you know, if I'm here, then I'm in trouble. Because I'm now trouble, I'm looking at trouble, now I'm part of the trouble. I don't want to be part of the trouble. I got to go.
So exactly. Afraid to stand up for their neighbors and their relatives. The biker community. I see the cops busting the biker. I try to park close as I can and just be there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to change the scenario, perhaps, but at least I want to observe what's going on. They're always telling me to pack up, go somewhere else. Well, how far am I going to back up? Why do I got to go somewhere else? Can't I just observe your treatment of this gentleman?
Well,
and they get all mad at me all the time.
It goes to, like, what to do when the police tell you to stop taking photos and video. No, it's like I said this before, Bill.
Yes.
Cameras are the new guns.
Yeah.
You know.
But my question remains, guys, if most of us can walk away
in three states,
with the attitude of saying, why, if most of us wouldn't do this, why are a lot of them doing it? Where are these people coming from? If most of us, we all agree that I couldn't don riot gear and break in your house and shoot your dog just because it's my job.
I have an answer.
Take you back to high school, and I don't have any
proof. Where are these people coming
from? In high school, didn't you have some bullies?
Yeah, but are we getting out bullied? Is that what it is?
Steroids.
This is no statistics. Just my mind.
Hypothetically,
high school bullies get into sports. And after sports in high school, maybe not good at professional football players or whatever, what do they do? Where do they go? We find many of these disgruntled jocks and just high school bullies going into the services. Military, they go into the police departments. They're looking for the same lifestyle they had in high school. And we all know somebody who was a bully in high school. And that person was not, he did not end up the manager of a bank. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but not all of our military personnel comes out of the military wanting to be a bully either, you know. I mean, a lot of military personnel go there for a lot of reasons. Maybe they're having a tough time at home. Maybe, and some of them are born into it. Just some of them are born in the USA, guys, man, and I respect all that. So, in a
we
way...
We agree with that, because we're screwed out in our military, but it is the same type of attraction going into the military,
well,
playing
here,
sports...
Okay.
Or going in the police department. That type of, you know,
here's
the camaraderie.
Yeah. See, this is my theory right here, you know. In other words, if it's a good or a bad shoot, I say fuck you. Neither good nor bad. Fatal police shooting was justified. This just came out of Maine about a Marine who just came back from Iraq. He happened to be a member of a motorcycle club. I'm not going to say the name because I'd have to ask permission first. But what happened was he was sitting on the porch and they tasered him, and then fucking when he got up, he was rolling around on the ground. He threw up and everything. He was ready to, he was cooperating. They just fucking tasered him. And then the guy emptied, he shot him three times, and he was a lieutenant who got promoted to captain.
Again, my theory on the high school bully, I've got no credibility. I've got no statistics. It just seems to be those are the people
that
do things like that.
Yeah, and the guy that tasered him was saying he felt it was a life or death dilemma that required a split-second decision, so he emptied his fucking clip in the guy. What the fuck?
Well, it starts in small steps, though. That's why I go back to bullies, which turn into programs like that. Believe me when I say not all cops are. Of course, that little blondie locks girl was very cute. Ran right over, gave me a hug. That was nice. And we've had good and bad, but the type of mentality, I believe, from school, junior high school, I think you can see the personality in many of our problem cops, not our good cops. Same with our problem military. Good guys, bad guys, but this is just my theory.
Well, Bill, you know, it goes back to what I told you. There's 76 documented gangs a mile and a half from my front door.
Yeah.
On the base.
But it's becoming overwhelming, though, guys. It's not that, you know, we can all pick up on a bully issue, but it's becoming overwhelming. It's becoming to be an outnumbered situation. That's why it's an issue the way it is today. But with that being said, I have to say this. Happy New Year to everybody. Happy New Year to all you guys, you know, at Bikers of America. I appreciate you and everything you all have done. We're right here at the brink of, this is the last show of 2010.
It is.
I mean,
it is.
Come on. It is that.
We've not had a good year, but, you know, we still have our families, and many of us have our health still like that. So I thank all of our friends, not our listeners. I thank all of our friends and that took time to help us and share information. By the way, very quickly, Flegel, I'm trying to talk Screwdriver. Once he gets a couple of years over, maybe he and I are going to be volunteer police officers. We'll have our own car.
We
can put a long hairy and a hat.
I already filled that out. They told me no. I didn't qualify.
I thought you and I'd be cool driving the car, you know?
Yeah, no.
Hey, you, pull over.
No, they won't give it to us.
No,
I already
tried.
It was
a thought I had.
Yeah.
Again, though, I do appreciate
it's been a tough year for all of us. I mean, I know for you, Bill, and for everybody, you know, in all kinds of situations, whether it's personal or whether it's business-wise or whatever, it's been a 2010. Glad to see it go. But also,
oh,
it's been a great year for making new friends and meeting folks and having a great time in discussing these issues that need to be discussed. So I want to wish everybody a happy new year, and I'm going to cut out of here.
All right, buddy.
Take
care of your family. I'll talk to you soon, I hope, all right?
Give me a buzz. I'll give you a buzz tomorrow.
All right, I'll do it, brother. I hope to be out in San Diego next year in 2011. That's my time, man. I'm back in Southern California finally. I missed the whole year.
We have one guy
listening.
We have one guy listening on the Island
of
Man right
now. Wonder what the hell that guy's thinking, you know?
I don't know.
I'll be back. I'll see you guys out there, man. Hey, take care.
Maybe one of the
biggies you're
at a party or something like that. It'd be kind of fun.
It sounds fucking great, man.
Thanks,
yeah, we're
going to
hang out.
You, Charlie.
All right. Happy New Year to you, Jan. Happy New Year to everybody. I'll catch you all later.
All right, Charlie. Take care.
All right. All right. Good night.
Good night.
He's a good guy. He's got a good, you know, I'm glad to see him get a little emotional tonight. He's getting a little mad with all this program here. But he listens to both sides of the story. So I've always thought that was nice of him. And we got to do something with the home food, that food thing coming up, don't we?
Yeah, I gotta call in to Michelle and we're gonna get together.
Right.
When her schedule fits, but it's gonna be me, you, and then we're gonna conference Charlie and on the phone.
Out of Chattanooga, still like that, and then we'll let everybody else know. I'd love to see Jan, everybody get to see move into their states and all that'd be kind of fun. So we're talking about the fact that we're going to Easy Rider Bike Show. We gotta make some decisions, hope the weather's going to be okay. It's not that L.A. is far for us. It's just that the crappy driving and the traffic, and it's going to be a pain. And LAPD is unbelievable stupid. That's not a nice place to get involved with up there at all. You're definitely going to go.
Yeah.
All right, then. Are you going to get one of those Sons of Anarchy T-shirts?
No, actually, I'm going to be with all of them. Just like you. If you're standing next to me, you're going to be in the same place I am.
I just want to know, are you going to wear one of those T-shirts? No?
No, we got Acid Rock. He's, says that she's miserable, and she'd get us kicked off the air. Nah, you don't worry about getting kicked off the air, trust us.
I've been kicked off the air on more AM shows. That's the least threat to me. That's why we're over here, so we can talk to people. I don't ask anybody to control their language. Whoever you want to speak, that's the way you speak normally. Whatever subjects you want to talk about. No sponsor can squeeze me again to stop talking about this subject or that subject. And that's why I enjoy talking to
you. You don't have to listen for a while. Just got to get up your brass balls. No worries. Call in.
Yeah.
Call in. We have a great group of people here.
We're one giant dysfunctional family. I'm very happy. What's that say? You send something out to somebody. All right then.
We have those. They're going out tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.
Just a reminder. No, I already got the reminder, and I talked to him today on the phone. Made to make sure I had the right addresses.
You know, and the Sons of Anarchy, the TV staff is all going to be up there. Now, they also have Mayan T-shirts. Have you seen those T-shirts yet?
Yeah. Well, anybody, I'm going to tell you, Bill.
Go ahead, because that's where I've been working on this. I'm waiting for you to jump in and say this.
Anybody,
I know what you're going to say.
Anybody who's dumb enough to wear that deserves to get their ass whooped.
Well, technically, you can't whoop their ass. You can't take the T-shirt away. That is, that's robbery.
And
to let them know that.
Newsflash. Art just looked it up. He says, so the Weather Channel says sunny and low 70s for Saturday, June 8th.
Oh, good going. Thank you.
Hey, Philip, it's make-believe.
I understand that it's make-believe.
Oh, now you spoiled it. He didn't know for that.
No,
he didn't know for sure. He didn't know.
No. You got to understand. You got to understand, when that show first came out and people started wearing that stuff, that's how all this shit started over here. That's how all this shit started in Oceanside.
I do want to share this because we're talking to Charlie. Charlie asked me to spend the message out to everybody,
Hello.
So I'm going to spread this out.
Hello.
Charlie, or Jax on the TV show, says, Bill, we are actors in a TV program.
Hello.
The vehicle we drive is motorcycles.
Hello.
For God's sake, tell everybody,
Hello.
We are not bikers. And everybody
Hello.
We spoke to up there that was in the staff of the crew,
hey, yeah,
they all
trying
firmly
trying
believe
down
that,
down.
Hey, Bill, we're just TV actors. Please don't take more. So you can badmouth the show, but the actors believe we don't have any time. We don't even understand the bikers. We're just actors. I thought that was pretty classy, you know?
Yeah. But that's
well,
the thing,
it's truthful.
Everybody, yeah, it's truthful.
Yeah.
It's truthful, but you got to understand, some of the people that are wearing that stuff are trying to act, walk and talk the same, and it's not working.
We have motorcycle shops in the area that sell that. We do not have that paraphernalia in Kennedy's Custom Cycles in our shop here. That's just beyond stupid. I want to tell everybody that's wearing
yeah,
that. There are some clubs that are going to take that very personal. And
yeah.
You don't need to run to those type of people. Motorcycle organization, to be a member, you have to hang out with them and see if they like you, see if you like them. Then you're going to prospect for a while. You go through a series of trials and tribulations until you get to that point. And then if you agree, if they agree, you get to be a member. You cannot just put a T-shirt on, because those people that did a prospect period, whatever, that just pisses them off. Why is this person walking around with a freebie and they've had to work for 2 years or more? You guys really don't know who's asking. They're asking us, are we TV actors? Oh, no. This is California. Everybody just parties with everybody
why.
Out here. God, you acid rock radio. We are not TV actors. We're two independent bike riders who have a lot of history in California with all the motorcycle clubs. But being in California, TV stars, movie stars, rock, it's just part of California. It's not reality. But Screwdriver and I...
Nobody in California knows where reality is. They think it's charming.
It's in our little space right here.
Charming.
It's off
and
the coast about 3 miles.
You mentioned we're doing parties and all that because many people write in and said, can you tell us what your life's like or how you guys spend the weekend? So we share information like that. But no, we don't have any TV actors.
No, and somebody just typed in, will they be at the Knoxville show? No.
No.
We're
not going to be there.
No, they're involved with us with a couple of friends of ours and one guy who's doing a... He's a phenomenal photographer, and he's also he's producing a movie.
He has a lot of R&D
really,
fire.
Yeah.
I was going to say,
we
got to kind of cut that. Yeah.
We can't tell you what the movie's going to be about, but he's working on this, and everybody in this little group is going to be involved in all of this. And those guys are showing up at the show Saturday in...
Billy Gibson, ZZ Top's going to be up there partying
right,
with us.
Right.
And a lot of people in the street want to just be around other people in the industry because it seems like we're all, I don't say we're more sane, but maybe because we're all a little bit crazy, it's no big deal for me sitting down saying to Billy, hey, how you doing, Billy, you know what? Next over here, we got Jax from the TV show, Charlie.
We're
going to
have, basically,
any,
they're all going to be there.
Yeah, but we don't have that rock star, oh, look who's here.
Yeah.
It's a different world, in the motorcycle celebrity world.
Right.
I'm sure if I met somebody,
back in the mid '80s, early '80s,
yeah.
We were you were involved with this, the Renegade show.
Yeah, I was. I actually I was an actor for some time, but it was a short career. As my good friend in Poway says, I had the perfect face for radio. So you see, my acting career didn't go that far. But being in California, we've talked to Schwarzenegger on several occasions, many Hard Rock openings. It doesn't seem to be that there's a celebrity status, per se, in the rock star slash motorcycle world when we all get together. So, okay. Whoever said... They said, that's enough of the explanation. Let it go.
No, it says you're killing me.
Yeah.
Because you wrote in about being actors.
Oh, yeah, well...
It's a good soap opera, you know, but nobody who went out and bought Dallas T-shirts or Falcon Crest T-shirts were actually millionaires, were they?
No. I mean, when I was a kid, I had a Dragnet T-shirt. What does that tell you?
Listen, I am so old. I want
How
you to know
old
that...
are you?
One of my regular riding buddies that I don't get to see that much, he's getting a little older now, is Larry Hagman. Larry and I do a big party every year together.
Right.
He can't ride anymore because his health and diabetes, and he's abused everything.
And
but Larry and I used
say,
to ride. He's good people. I don't see any ego in him, but he did assure me that when he was younger and he was doing Dallas and he is in I Dream a Genie, his ego was so big. But now he's just happy to be here riding motorcycles, so... There, I'm sure there are attitudes in the motorcycle world slash, you know, hype. But I try to choose good people that I like that don't have the ego problem. Hey, Billy Gibbons, by the way, ZZ Top, no ego at all.
No.
Not a great people.
No.
Mickey Rourke. People say
he's a nasty,
he's a nice guy. I like him.
He's turning a little white there.
Oh, his face is. You got to stop that plastic surgery. Lord, that looks bad. But
Who's that idiot actor who went on a helmet crusade after he almost
Gary
went to...
Busey.
Oh.
Gary Busey. You know,
Hang it up, Gary Busey.
We don't even mention that guy, you know.
He's a puke.
Well, he's an idiot. He was drunk.
He is an idiot.
He was drunk when he did that.
Yeah. You know, at least when Schwarzenegger crashed, you know, he said, you know, hey, you know, my fault, blah, blah, blah. And right away, Busey started jumping on the helmet thing. And, oh, if only he had a helmet on and all that. No, he lost all credibility with the way he handled it.
Yeah.
You can do things right 100 times, and out of that 100 times, do them right 99 times, and do it wrong one time, that's what people remember from you. And unfortunately for Gary, he just shut the whole motorcycle world out of this whole world. You know what's very good, though, is old Grizzly Adams, you know, Dan Haggerty. He's got a good attitude and all that. He speaks especially well, so we try to, in our world, be good.
And you guys claim that you don't have, like, rock star status. Here you are hanging out with all these celebrities. Is there anybody that you have never met that you always wanted to?
You know, I'm going to be very – what's the first? Because I'm going to elaborate a little bit. All right, then. The only one I really want to meet, and I'm an Irish Catholic lad, so you think that the head of my church would be the Pope and I'd want to meet him – No, the only person in this world that I've not met yet that I really want to meet is me. Yes, that's the one. The Dalai Lama. He's a man who came over, took over his whole country. He fought for freedom. He didn't want anybody to use violence at all. He had to move to India because they gave him the space. I would love to sit down with him and ask him why they were raping his nuns, killing his priests, why he still preached nonviolence. And he comes into California every now and then, but I've never been hooked up with. I would love to ask him, how in the face of all that violence and killing, were you able to still preach nonviolence? That's what
and
the
I
only want one. To
meet the reincarnation of Mahatma Gandhi.
Hey, Jen.
What an inspirational person. Yeah.
I got one for you. What do you think of Newt Gingrich?
Do you really want to know?
I'll tell you why. What do you need? What do you think of Newt Gingrich? You know why? Because that's one of Bill's personal friends.
Oh.
I did
really?
A long for German television.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah,
for
okay,
German
well,
television, we were supposed to. We did about a half hour talk, and we rolled the bikes down there, and the TV cameras were all there, and we met. And I don't know why he got involved in this thing because we went to the Republican convention in San Diego years ago. Mm-hmm. Years ago. And we talked, and the first words out of his mouth was, Mr. Kennedy, I don't know anything about motorcycles at all.
Really?
Every Republican in the state of California, we're on our motorcycles, and he's there, and he doesn't know a word. But he was very honest about everything. I found him honest. Again, I'll say the word honest again. He was articulate.
Oh.
Meeting first face and all, I spent a half hour talking with him in front of cameras, lights, and all that. I thought he was a nice guy, but his politics a little bit array. So I wasn't going to mention that, but thank you for putting me on the spot, Screwdriver, again, one more time.
You really? Good job. Good job, Philip.
All that love. This is the guy that tells me what comes around goes around.
I have a
Hey, pick on
very,
Bill Knight.
my past is a little bit out there, so I try not to talk about things, and he keeps bringing little zingers in, but...
It's pick on Bill night.
No, it's just like we say, there's so many things going on for us that we both can't be in the same place at once.
And that requires us to be at different programs.
Right, so sometimes when I go north and Bill stays south, I go north and I meet...
Other friends.
I mean, I spent a day with, you know who Brenda Fox is, Jan?
Brenda is a friend of mine from 20 years ago.
Right,
and
we spent the day with Brenda Fox.
Oh, she
Fox.
Probably don't want to say that.
No,
she don't even know I knew her for 20 years.
Yeah.
Brenda Fox, nice girl, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then when I appreciate all lady bikers. Yeah. And when we were with them, and then also the guy Andy McPhee from the Sons of Anarchy, that's the guy from the president of the Belfast chapter that got thrown off the roof. And Bill had a nice little talk with him, and if you want to elaborate for everybody listening on that one, or you want me to tell it?
No, go ahead, because you know what, I was a little bit...
So what happened was when Bill and I came around the corner, I had already talked to the guy. I'd been with him for about 3 hours, and Bill came up. Bill showed up, and we walked around.
I always come late.
But I introduced him to him and everything, and then Bill gave him a comment where he said, you know, he said, you're an Australian guy playing an Irish guy in Belfast in a Protestant club who's the only Catholic who happens to turn out to be a snitch. No wonder they threw you off the fucking roof.
Like, I didn't throw him off the roof. They couldn't find another Irish guy. All of Northern Ireland is Protestant. They got to put one Irish guy in the club, one Irish Catholic in the club. And he drops the dime. I said, yeah. And I did mention about dropping him off the second floor of that party we were at, too,
right,
just to see if he bounced or not.
Right, and then Bill kind of...
He's a nice guy, though. We really enjoyed
very nice guy, very nice guy. And
for being a non-Irish, you know.
Right, we were going to have him on the show and everything, but his management company decided that we were too politically motivated to do that since he's here on a visa.
Yeah.
So... We have a couple more callers.
One nice thing that I really hold deep in my treasures. I have a picture of Dave Mann. You remember the Dave Mann from the Easy Rider drawing all those wonderful pictures?
They just had a benefit for him.
Yes, they did, up in Ventura.
Right.
And there was a guy from Easy Rider called Rip Rose. They had the picture of three of us together, and another guy that I enjoyed very much, and that was... Ron Finch. These are people that I enjoy being with sincerely. I don't know if everybody knows most of these people are, but these
Ron
are people
Finch,
who I believe be bikers long after, if this trend ever goes away, these people, well, we've lost Dave Mann now, we've lost Rip, but still, Ron Finch is out there beating his own drum, and I have a lot of respect for people like that.
Right. And, what we're going to do is I'm going to bring in this caller. I think this is the guy we're waiting for, so if you hold, guys, hold on for a second. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, you're out there? You're on the air.
Phil, Dan.
Hey, buddy. What you want to talk about tonight, pal?
Well, thank you for not letting me jump at the first bike I wanted to get today.
for not letting you pick the first one you sat on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let me mess up.
Yeah, how'd it go over? I know you took a lot of pictures.
Good, yeah,
okay. So basically, we didn't deter you, we just schooled you.
Yeah, you schooled me quite a bit. I was ready to jump on one as soon as I got there.
Okay.
As the person behind the vehicle, it's your responsibility to decide which is the right model for you. What reason are you going to have for riding this motorcycle? I will spend as much time talking people out of buying a bike until they're ready to realize which one specific model, and that's where we start learning and teaching people.
Right.
We don't go impulse buy.
It goes into that triangle of the handlebars, the seat, and the foot
chain. That's right,
yeah. Yeah, I learned quite a bit today.
But basically, I told you to call in so you can plug your site, man. And
I was going to tell you, I was listening earlier. I just gave you a shirt you can wear next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't have a shirt to wear.
I'm working on that right now.
Somebody thought my X size would fit into a extra large. No, that's not going to happen.
Oh, I'm working on it right now.
Streamlined at the top and nice shapely legs. I'm like back in the East Coast, they have candlepin bowling. That's my body shape right there. I'm supposed to be saying, what's he talking about? Check candlepin bowling pin. That's what I look like. That's the East Coast thing. Jan, you know what I'm talking about there?
I absolutely do, and when I was out in California, nobody knew what I was talking about when I said, I used to bowl candlepin.
Uh-huh.
It's all 10-pin out in California. There's no candlepin.
Yeah. I have no idea what that is.
I know.
Candlepin is
okay.
A small ball.
It's okay. It's okay. Trust me. It's okay. But, no, what I want you to do is talk a little bit about your
Your product, your industry.
What you got going?
I
like what you're doing.
It's pretty much just a little website I got started right now. It's an old way, but it's a new way to teach it. I got the trademark on a little while ago.
Cool.
It pretty much, the trademark just, it's a logo. It just says pretty much if you fuck up, step up.
Mm-hmm.
If you mess up, don't point the finger at me. I'm tired of everybody else pointing the finger at everybody, nobody manning up and admit when they did something wrong. Nobody does that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got
now, I'm not one here
what?
To control any type of speech or anything, but when can you spell out how you spelled the first word? Do I hear F-U-C-K? Or how do you disguise that, or what are you saying?
F-U-C-K.
Okay, I missed
it. But on the logo, it's
F-asterisk. Okay, it's F, asterisk, asterisk, up, step up. Okay, no, okay. People want to know that.
Okay. The website is www.everydayguy.net.
Where you are? Which area? Are you, obviously, you got to be in San Diego. You stopped by my shop today. Which area? North County, San Diego? Where are you from, brother?
I live right real close to Qualcomm. I look out the backyard and watch the Holiday Bowl right now.
Well, one of our programs that Screwdriver and I have is because we have no sponsors whatsoever. We're proud to ask, to share the light on anybody coming up with new products and new music and all that. We don't charge anybody for anything. So we want you best of luck, congratulations, and of course, spend more time stopping by the shop, and we'll get you when you're ready on the right bike.
Right. It's like I told you when I walked around with you today, and you sat on them. And you looked at the different ones, and we rolled up or we loosened up the handlebars, got you comfortable on that one. It's like I told you, don't look at the first one, and that's the one you want to buy. When you see the one that you want, you'll know it.
Yeah, I've been riding for a long time, and I've just never had a Harley.
Yeah, but that was like today was like turning the kid loose in the candy store.
Oh yeah, I thought you could buy a couple of them.
Yeah, I was about ready to.
Each model serves a different purpose. Let's go by to Ford for 1 second. Ford makes a Escort. They make a Temple. They make a Taurus. They make a Thunderbird. They make a Ford F-150, 250, 350, and on and on. Don't buy a Ford Escort if you need a Ford F-150. That's why I didn't know you were coming in or anything like that, but that's why we say you've got to know which is the right vehicle, the right model for what you need the bike for.
Yeah. I understand that a little more now. And I'll be back. Don't worry.
And, you know, you want to come on by the shop anytime like that, take the bike out for a couple of days. I've got Screwdriver's credit card now. Don't you worry about it, brother, okay?
Oh, that's good to know.
I'll be right there. I'm going to fly to San Diego.
Yeah, sure you will.
On my broom. Because I don't go through the TSA, you know.
I was reading it there. It says, John was talking about Ron Finch. Jan, are you familiar with Ron Finch?
No, I'm not.
I really would like you to take a little time, find
check
him.
Check out ronfinch.com.
Yeah, he's out of Pontiac, Michigan, or Flint, Michigan now. I forgot now. He moved a while back. But he beats through his own drum, I guess. I just respect the guy because he never jumped on the commercial bandwagon. He never was an Arlenness. He never been into stuff. He's just a guy that's building unique motorcycles, which you love, or you say, what the hell was he thinking? You know?
Nah, they say, what the fuck?
That's your side of the music over there.
But, no, I mean, it's just like, you know, we got the right now we got acid rock, you know, rocking in here with about love and everything that, you know, the R&B.
Where's acid from? Acid rock from?
New Jersey.
New Jersey, okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
He's not that far. He's from what I think it said, Central New Jersey.
I would have read that soon.
Yeah, Central New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And then Johnny, he's 10 miles south or from the Badlands of Camden. So, but yeah, we're coast to coast here and worldwide, so.
These are all East
right
Coast
now, tonight. Right now, tonight, we're on in 19 countries, Bill.
Where's my Chinese guys? Are you out there, I wonder? It's interesting that one Chinaman listens to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is he talking? One day, Chinaman, call me up, brother. Just call and say hello to us. I'd love to hear you.
Yeah.
If they let you use it. I wonder if China's probably shutting down on that, too.
No, I'll call still got the one guy.
Oh, the one guy for the Isle of Man. One guy for the Isle of Man.
Right.
What is he? Who does he talk to about out there? I mean, if he's all by himself.
I don't know.
We keep saying guy. We shouldn't be sexist. It could be ladies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My wife keeps reminding me over and over, women aren't just passengers. They have their own vehicle and stop. I'm an old guy. It takes me a while to let that stuff go.
You old fart. Did I say that?
You did, and you know, let me just say.
Now who's picking
before
up?
Before the women started riding their own motorcycles, like Sturges in the 70s and the 80s, it was a certain lifestyle. And then they had the women hoggy members and all that, and they started shutting down the wet T-shirt contest. Oh, that's rude and all that. I blame the women hoggies. I'm messing up all my wet T-shirt contests because I'm not
Do one thing real quick. Hey, Dan, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, I'm going to take another caller, but you're welcome to call back next week and give another plug,
thank you.
Okay, man?
Yeah, brother, keep in touch with us, okay?
Hey, it was nice meeting you, Bill. Thank you.
All right, Phil.
All right. You guys have a good night.
You too,
all right, buddy.
Happy New Year.
Caller, you're on the air, please.
Hold on.
No, you're not. We're working on you.
Hello, caller.
Who's this caller you want? You hear me?
We hear you.
Harassment, harassment. I can't listen to the show in peace. This is Acid Rock Radio. How's everyone doing tonight?
Good, man. How you
doing? Fine. We're doing
wonderful.
Fine.
You might want to just let everybody know who you are.
I'm the guy in the chat room, Acid Rock Radio.
Well, yeah,
Charlie,
how you doing?
Little Johnny, you could call me.
Old Charlie?
Little Johnny.
Old Johnny.
Little
okay.
Johnny, yeah.
Oh, hey, they told jokes, the Little Johnny jokes all the time about
that's
you.
All, the Little Johnny, yeah.
Yeah.
Who are you guys talking about? Larry Hagman. I met Larry Hagman. What a wonderful guy.
Yeah, he is.
I met, yeah.
Really
he,
down earth guy.
He has to sit in a chair that's not low. It's kind of like high. Where he can lean into it, because he was at a convention signing autographs. And he
right.
Like you say, he looks like he has that, what do you have, he has diabetes or something you said?
Yes.
Yeah, he was just a nice guy. I liked him right off the bat.
Once a year we get together for a party and all that, and he's got a wonderful wife. She's actually European. They met in England, but not that matters or anything. He comes with a good family. No illegal, no attitude. He never expects anything, but with the parties and all that.
Nice guy. He was sitting next to Major Healy. You remember him?
Yeah.
He was with Major Healy and Barbara Eden. Yeah.
He used to always ask Larry, I want you to tell me the truth now. We got Barbara Eden, and we've got who's Dallas? Somebody help me. Who's the Dallas girl star? Victoria
Principal. Mm-hmm.
Larry, tell me the truth. Victoria Principal, Barbara Eden, who was the best looking of them two? And who was the wild one? And he used to tell me, Bill, they were so beautiful, but they were as different as day and night. And one of them, and I won't say her name, but one of them was wild, beyond wild. But I'll let your imagination figure what. Did you ever read his book, by the way?
Oh, me?
Yes, did you ever read his book?
No, I've never read his book.
The book is called Hello, Darling. It talks about his past. I'm encouraging you to read it. I'm going to give you one small quote from his book, if I can remember. Back in the day when he thought his shit didn't stink, He valued his voice so much that up in Hollywood, he would ride around on his Harley in a gorilla suit because he thought nobody would know who he was. Well, it didn't take too long for all of Hollywood to figure out, there's Larry on the gorilla suit. And one day a month, he wouldn't speak to anybody because his voice is golden. Larry's gone through a lot of strange things. I'm not going to tell you about his circus programs, and but if you get a chance, look up Hello, Darling. You'll say, what the hell? He's okay.
You know, I grew up with him, and I Dream of Jeannie, but when he got to the Dallas era, I just, like, didn't. I don't watch those soap operas, you know?
Uh-huh.
I just never followed him after that. But I always remember
you,
my Dream of Jeannie. He was a fun guy. He was running around like a nut back then with Bill Daly.
Yeah,
you could tell. When you see people on the screen, on the stage, you could kind of tell that they're kind of like the same as they are in real life, you know?
Exactly.
There's not much of changes there. Because that's how they're able to put out their persona.
I tell you, with the Blake shows and all that, Larry has women coming from everywhere. Can they sit on his lap? Can they take his autograph? I'm like 2 feet from him. I'm like, what am I, chopped liver? This guy still has got a following of women of all ages. It's amazing, I tell you.
Yeah, when I seen him, he had a lot of girls getting his autograph. And you spoke of Dan Haggerty also.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up with him, and then there was one point where he made Flamin' Shots famous.
Hmm.
Remember, he used to do the Flamin' Shots, and he did a Flamin' Shot and burned his beard off.
Right.
And he became famous. Yeah, it was in every newspaper.
He became famous, and then more and more people started burning their faces. I remember that.
I haven't seen too much of him recently, but 10 years ago, he was still floating around. I know he fell in some hard times. He was living on somebody's boat up there at the L.A. area. I forgot which dock it was, but he's clean and sober again. Well, for a while anyway, we don't know, but I heard he's doing really good. He's getting back on track and making some money, so God bless him for that. Because to me, he was always stand-up, and that boy's ready to party all night long.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a good guy. That's sad. Yeah, a lot of these actors, a lot of these celebs, I know a few that are just, you know, they're living in trailers, you know, with rats and cats, and they just they're like they're like
well, look
to
at,
crawl
look
out
at
of
Mickey
the
Rourke. He was getting ready to get evicted until they gave him that movie. When he did The Wrestler.
Yeah.
Now he's booked out through forever. And he's probably being the one that they picked to play Sonny Barger.
Let's talk about the most famous bike builder that nobody knows about, and that's
me,
the gentleman
well, before
that
before you
did
do
the,
that,
let me
give me a second there. Axel.
Hello.
Axel.
Hello.
Axel, are you there, brother?
Hello.
Hey, all right, just hold on 1 second. I'm going to bring you in a minute. Go ahead.
Okay, let's talk about just quickly the most famous bike builder. You don't have a clue who he is. The gentleman from the Easy Rider movie that built the Billy bike and Captain American bike, he died in Ensenada in a boat he was living in because he couldn't get any money, any publicity. He was a black man.
Sugar Bear.
There isn't anybody hardly that knows this. They didn't want to get hit. Who, somebody say Sugar Bear?
Sugar Bear.
No, not Sugar Bear.
Nice.
Sugar Bear, nope. And I go back 30 years, but if you're bumping a Sugar Bear, he'll confirm the story 100%. Sugar Bear is one of Sugar's very, very good friends. The guy never got the publicity. He ended up dying in Ensenada. Sugar Bear is alive and well. I spoke to him just last week.
Oh, okay.
Sugar Bear is another example of a gentleman who didn't get exposure because he was a black guy. Every now and then you'd sneak his name in there, but they would never show a picture of him in any of the magazines until 15 years ago, 20, something like that.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a bit of animosity. He and I were talking about, what about the Arlen Nesses and the Jesse James? He goes, Bill, he's 72 years old. He goes, Bill, I'm building motorcycles. I'm blessed for that. If I had more money, I'd still be doing motorcycles. So Sugar Bear's a great guy, but Sugar Bear's one of his best friends, and his name is escaping me, but anybody know Sugar Bear?
Another guy's
everybody
black
thinks
man.
That, actually, a lot of people get confused with Dan Haggerty. They think Dan Haggerty built
say,
the motorcycles.
Yeah.
Dan rebuilt the motorcycles. After the movie,
mm-hmm.
Dan rebuilt them, and a lot of people say, oh, Dan built the bikes. No, from first-hand knowledge, after the movie, Dan rebuilt the bike. So
right.
Rebuilt. I thought he had a hand in building.
No.
The props. No.
After the fact, yeah.
Mm. Not taking anything away from Dan. He's a great bike builder and all that, but that was after the fact. And he never once tried to claim it. He said, yeah, he built the bikes, you know, rebuilt them. But it was easy to use Dan Haggerty as a face after the movie, a white guy. Then bring this black guy in and say, this gentleman here built the motorcycles.
Right.
No credit, no nothing. Please answer him.
Right.
What do we got, buddy?
None. I just want to thank little Johnny for calling in. We egged him on a little bit, but...
Johnny, appreciate starting something.
Hey, I enjoy it. I like listening to you guys.
We're not rap tight, so we're glad you call in. You fit in with our diversified group.
Yeah, you're welcome anytime. And you don't need a set of brass balls.
Great.
But,
thanks a lot.
All right, man. Take care.
Take care.
Happy New Year, too, buddy. Good
you
luck.
You too. Happy New Year, everyone.
Keep your health, brother. Keep your health. I lost a lot of people this year. Keep your health. Best you can. All right.
Axel.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Good evening.
You got
how
the floor.
How are you doing there?
You know, actually, we were on last week, and you had an important message, and I know, well, you're not a shy guy, but I know you're not out there preaching to people. But your story is somewhat unique, and I think that if people are listening, maybe a little blurb from you about your lifestyle, why you're doing your lifestyle, it may be very important now because we're coming up to New Year's Eve. Would you tell us what your organization is, what your message is, and why you're still alive today, if you don't mind saying? It's all to you, brother.
Well, I'm a part of the Pioneers Motorcycle Club, and I also belong to the mother chapter, the one that started originally here in Oceanside, California. There was a collection of guys that were clean and sober. They stopped drinking, but they still had a motorcycle problem, and decided to get together, create a club. They did everything right. They got a hold of the organization of clubs, the
PLC.
Yeah, had an idea for a patch, petitioned other clubs to make sure the colors were copacetic with everybody else's, and started a group of clean and sober riders, and in some ways the rest is history, but you know, there are quite a few people in Alcoholics Anonymous that like to ride, and so I was one of them. And one of the nicest things about being clean and sober is now I had money and the wits about me to be able to think about riding, being able to get a motorcycle. And one thing I've always liked is V-twins. I messed around with British bikes for a while, and then found myself gravitating towards the building of Harleys or Harley-like bikes. Actually, I've never owned a Harley. I've owned three clones, but I've had Harley transmissions and Harley engines, but I've never actually had a serial numbered Harley before. This is pretty much what I do and what the other guys in the club are all about. We do charity events. We try to help other people. It's all pretty much based upon Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous.
Well, speaking of charity events, we were waiting for Coyote to call in about that polar bear poker run, which will be on Sunday, January 9th. It's going to depart from the Lakeside VFW, and it's going to hit five shops and end up at Bill's. I think Bill's the last stop, but I'm not sure of that.
Hopefully.
Yeah, go ahead.
Anybody there?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, it's hard to actually explain everything with what time we got, but as we say, if anybody out there is listening and you think that you might have a problem with drinking, the old saying goes that if you even think that you have a problem with it, then there's a good chance maybe you do. Because individuals who are normal drinkers don't drink to excess. One thing that blew my mind when I got sober was the notion that most people in the world don't drink. And and I think that to people that drink all the time, that's a bizarre revelation. you know, when I first heard that most people in the world don't drink, I'm thinking, no. You know, because, but this is like a classic alcoholic's attitude, because everyone I knew or everyone that I associated with drank. And so it seemed to me like the whole world drank. But it's true. Most people in the world don't. And there's this whole world of realization that opened up before my eyes upon going to AA and upon not drinking, because it had been so much part of most of my life. And so, you know, I found other things, other avenues to put my energies into. One was writing, one was building charity events, the club, going to AA, marrying a good woman, having children, becoming a responsible individual in the world, having a life worth living, and not being sick and tired of being sick and tired anymore, pretty much, you know. And of course, there's what they call a drunk log. It's a huge, long, drawn-out story of how I actually got to the point where I decided to put a plug in the jug, but maybe that's for another time, given what time we have left for the show. But,
let me ask you this question here. You were saying that, you know, you made a choice whatsoever, but you didn't use your AA club friends as a crutch. You've been out in the community helping other members of the community. For example, the cover-up. Would you tell them a little bit how you and the other motorcycle club, the Messengers, tied up together and said, we need to reach out, let the community know we're available?
I don't know. It was before my time. I'm not one of the originals of the club. I came just about 5 or 6 years after the club had been accepted. But at that point, there had been basically just a shared responsibility for the big cover-up charity event with San Diego Harley and, of course, with Kennedy's Custom Cycles. Prior to that, Messengers another clean sober club. There's quite a few of them actually here in San Diego County and in Southern California. But the reason for doing charity events, at least for us, is that in the program of AA and in Narcotics Anonymous too, there's an old saying that we only get to keep it, being our sobriety, by giving it away. And the major reason behind that is the fact that when you're an alcoholic, the only person you think about is number one, numero uno, you only. You don't think about anybody else. And that's the way that the drug works on your mind. And your mind tells you that the only thing that's important is getting drunk or getting high. And so when you do stop drinking and using, you start being around other individuals and adhering to the mandates of the program, which is to give to others, to think of others, to see somebody else as being greater than yourself, to hopefully find a higher power. It doesn't necessarily have to be the Christian God, although it is for most people. And finding something else that's greater than you. And in doing that kind of thing, you ultimately come to things such as charity events, giving to others, helping other individuals out. It's also important in the program of AA to reach out to other individuals who have problems as well. But that's not to say the big cover-up is only for individuals who have troubles with drinking or drugs. We, you know, if we have people walk in to Kennedy's just saying, hey, what's going on? You know, and they give to the event, and they have a burger, and they have a Coke, and they sit down, they talk to people, and they get to know about the community. And it's all a good thing, you know, for anybody.
You know, I want to ask you a question, because, you know, you and I have known each other for years, and I was listening to you, and I was thinking, you and I have never had a conversation about AA or NA or anything. We talk about motorcycles.
Yes, we do.
And what a wonderful venue for people to realize that people who drink, people who don't drink, there's a common ground, motorcycles. Jan, you still out there? Do you have any questions for my friend, dear?
Well, you know, I did. Can you hear me okay first?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. And nice to meet you, by the way. I'm Jan.
Nice
I'm
to
from
meet
North
you.
Carolina. And wow. I'm in Bikers of Lesser Tolerance. And mm-hmm. one of my pet peeves is rights and how they're infringed on. We're it seems like we're living in a police state now. We have DUI checkpoints being put up all over the countryside. Now, the Mothers Against Drunk Driving, I don't know what you think about them, but I do wonder what you think about cops getting the courts to side with them, that it's okay for them to hold somebody down and stick a needle in their arm by force. What do you think of that?
I couldn't be any further against it.
Thank you.
That kind of thing is just a police state. It's 1984, you know. That kind of control is not necessary. As far as checkpoints, though, I have to say one thing. It's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Every time they stop people for sobriety checkpoints, these days, now that I haven't had a drink in 17 years, I roll down the window and all I can think to myself is, bring it on, test me, be my guest. But I do realize that holding somebody down and trying to take their blood or trying to give them some kind of a breath test, that's just wrong. You know, that's why lawyers are around, and that's why human rights are around, and why
you gotta do what I do. When I roll down the window and they ask me if I have anything to drink, I tell them no, I'm an alcoholic, I don't drink.
There you go.
Oh, one question. Yeah. Now, you know, you are a motorcycle club. Your club still gets stopped, just like every other club. Not everybody knows you're clean and sober. But the point is, you don't get a free pass. You still get hassled as much as everybody else gets hassled. Is that a correct statement?
To some degree, I'm told that there are some police in the know, and some of them do actually know our patch. And those gentlemen usually are the ones that leave us alone. We're not out to prove anything aside from the whole idea behind being clean and sober is to have a life worth living. So we're not out to impress anybody or anything. We're just out to be with each other and to do good things for the community. We're not Lily White. We don't try to throw morals in with anything. We just support each other and help each other to stay clean and sober and to enjoy motorcycle riding. That's pretty much it. I've been told in Escondido that there's been some harassment of anybody on a motorcycle with colors, and I don't think
same
that's
thing here in
no, we know that. Yeah,
same
know
thing
that.
In
leave my
yeah.
Leave my shop down the road. Mission Avenue shut up blocks every Friday night. You know, actually, I'm going to and Jan, anybody else listen? I'd like to know. Can you come on a bit earlier next week? I'd like to expand this conversation a little bit longer. There is a song the Screwdriver wants to close the program out with, and we are sneaking up on the time to say, you know, good night and all that. But you think you might be able to come back next week and join us a bit earlier to expand a little bit some of the items or some of the decisions, some of the things I want to ask you about? But I want more time. Does that fit your schedule for next week, maybe?
I will do that. Yes, I will.
Okay.
Perfect.
Then I want to say,
this song that I'm going to play is by our friend Charlie, who was on earlier.
In Chattanooga, Tennessee.
No, he's in White House, Tennessee.
Yeah, it's a Tennessee song.
Tennessee.
We want to thank again all of our listeners that are listening. Yes? Go ahead, Axel.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Right on.
Oh, good night. Well, but you guys, Jan, you might want to stick around. This is a Charlie song I picked out for you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And again, to all of our friends listening, we thank you very much.
And have a happy and safe New Year.
Heavy on the safe. And everybody keep your health. Like I said, I've lost 12 people. We've lost 12 people here. Kind of weighing on me a little bit.
Desert air feels good on me.
Hey, good night, Gracie.
Good night now, everyone.
Good night, John Boy.
All right, see you later.